how it lights my path, how it guides my way.
Hebrews 11:23-29. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking forward to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered as though seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Amen. Let's pray for Jan. Do you want to come up, Jan? Lord, thank you for Jan. Thank you for the things that you've laid on his heart as he's prepared, as he's meditated on your word, Father. And Lord, I pray that as he speaks now, Lord, that we will not be distracted, that our thoughts will not wander, Lord, but that you will help us to focus and to hear not only what Jan is saying, but what you are saying. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, thank you. Okay, as I get myself set up, because I've created a presentation for the people that I learn by looking in. So as I set this up, what I want you to do is, in your tables, discuss what do you have on you that is the most precious thing, okay? And I want you to choose one thing, okay? So discuss between you, what is the most precious thing on your table? Okay. I've got, let's start now. So, I'm going to start with a little game. In my pocket, I have a nail from Buckingham Palace. Okay? How certain are you that is the truth? 60%, 80%, 100%. A nail from Buckingham Palace. Okay? Okay, how certain are you that I'm telling the truth? A nail, like a nail for wood. All right, this table? 100%. 100%. 100%. 100. 50-50. 50-50. 100%. Okay, yes. So, in my pocket, yes, I do have a nail from Buckingham Palace. You can ask me the story why I have that another time. Okay, next question is, next slide. All right, I've got a photo with me and Noah with diapers on our heads. So my son Noah, we've got diapers on our heads. Am I telling the truth, yes or no? 100% or is this a picture of something else? 200%. What? Anyone else at this table? 100%. Okay, next slide. Yes, it is. Yes. Okay. So, but if I said to you now, before I ask you this question, if I said, give up your most certain, more your possession that you've just discussed on your tables, if I said to you, if you get this wrong, I'm going to take up those more precious thing. How would you feel? If suddenly your certainty was at risk, you would want to be more certain about the outcome of the situation, wouldn't you? We like to be certain about the important things in our lives, specifically the decisions that we take. You know, at this point, normally in my as I preach, I would introduce myself. My name is Jan, blah, blah, blah. And what I would say is that I'm the youth leader of this church. But sadly, that's not the case anymore. If you've been away or haven't heard the news, I've given up my role as a youth leader last academic year. I felt that it was the right time to do it. I've been doing it for around a decade. It was an amazing time. It was a time full of challenges, and yeah, it was an amazing time. When I was leading it, I had a creative decision on the whole group. I could shape it the way I wanted to. I could decide what topics we do, what games we do. The vibe of the group, you know, I could decide what snacks the young people were eating. It was roughly around January this year that I decided to step down. And as part of the decision making, some of the worries started to come in. What's going to happen when I leave? Is everything going to be okay? I was thinking, if I'm not leading it, what shape will the group take? What games will they play? What topics will they do? There was doubt coming into my mind. Is this the right decision? I'm leaving the group. I'm leaving the young people. And then suddenly worries would come. But at that moment, I had to think, the reason why I am giving up this role. What am I putting my faith in that moment? And at that moment, I no longer had the assurance of the outcome of the group because I've lost the control of it. I no longer know what the topics they will do. I no longer know what games they will play or what will happen in a year or two. Coming to the end of my long introduction, how does faith look like when you're losing control or don't have certainty? So if you skip to the next slide. So I named the talk. Next one. Certainty, control, and faith walk into the pub. As it is with three T's, the preacher is going to be very quick to the point. I'm a very simple person, so it's going to be very, very easy to follow. So the point. We as people love certainty and control, don't we? Some people need to know what is happening throughout the whole day. They've got a plan of the day to specific every minute. Some people, when they go into a situation, they just take control, take charge. It needs to happen my way. I wonder if you know that kind of person. And the worst case scenario of someone taking control is when they start to control individuals. I've come up with a few reasons why I think people like control in their life. So if you change the slide, please. The first one is to find purpose. Having control over parts of our lives can help us feel like we're living authentically. It allows us to make choices that reflect our values and goals, which can create a sense of fulfillment, independence, and personal choice. Next one is dopamine. When people feel in control, their brain releases dopamine, which is like a chemical for pleasure and satisfaction. Because feeling in control feels good, the brain remembers the feeling and encourages us to seek control again. Another one, fear of failure. For people who tend to be perfectionists, having control can feel necessary to achieve the best possible outcome. Controlling their actions, decisions, and sometimes even other people can make them feel safe. If everything is controlled, they may feel they can avoid mistakes and protect themselves, their esteem, and self-worth. Conditioning. Growing up in an environment where controlling emotions, behavior, and surroundings is seen as important and can teach people that being in control means being strong. Many cultures also connect control with leadership and success because control can be linked to power people made to try to control others to get what they want. Coping mechanism, not being able to cope with unnecessary, can make people try to control the situation and the outcomes, including their relationship, future, This can be very way of protecting themselves from feeling of anxiety, vulnerability, helplessness, and disappointment. And the last one is structure. Routine and order can make people feel more comfortable. Having control can help people organize their daily tasks. Time responsibilities can also give a sense of achievement, especially when working towards personal and work-related goals. So this is all these ideas are all stuff that I thought why people take control. Probably there's more, but yeah, this is the ones that I thought, oh, these are the main ones. At the same time, I'm not saying that these things are negative. Routine, organization, purpose are good things. I'm a very strong believer that God has given us a mind to reason, to make choice, so that we do control, you know, our lives in some form or way. We're not just, you know, like brain-dead robots or animals that just react on our instinct or needs. But at the same time, we all know that humanity take things into the extreme. And Moses' story, next slide, Moses' story is the perfect example of this. His life is filled with stories of situations where the Israelites wasn't sure about the future or the outcome of the future, so they started to take control in their own hands and made decisions. Next slide. Big example is the golden calf, what they done with that. Another one is the stuff with manna and the food. There was a clear instructions not to store it or collect it on Sabbath day. And what did some people do? Store it and collect it on Sabbath day. I wonder if there is some kind of reason why people just love to disobey and just take control I wonder if there's some kind of study. What happens in your mind? Moses wasn't perfect, but in the midst of everything that's happened with the Israelites, he's such a good example of faith that we ought to live, in my opinion. And it's in the text that we looked at today. I didn't have to look at the commentary. I didn't have to read a book about Hebrews to understand it or find a secret meaning. Next slide. I'm just going to read the passage. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. It's simple. He had it all and decided to leave it. And he didn't know what the future will hold at that moment. His life would have been sorted. And he gave it all up. The life of a, you know, next to a Pharaoh, it was the best life at that time. The only example I can think of that I've heard about is that my company is working for the King of Dubai. We're building one of his houses outside of London. And the stuff of the requests that he has, it's crazy. And I'm going to show you one example, very simple, and this is for the kids. He has a field of bouncy castles blown up for his kids. If they suddenly come to London, they can bounce on it. They are blown up 24 hours every day, just in case his kids want to bounce. That's the kind of life maybe Moses could have had. Crazy. When I heard this, it's crazy. Anyway, I'm hoping that I'm not going to go to that job because it's a crazy job. Anyway, another story from Moses is, and again from the passage, if we go to the next slide. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they drowned. Imagine the impossible situation that Moses was in that moment. You're standing in front of the Red Sea. Thousands of people behind you, relying on you with the answers. Then you have another group come in to get you, to murder you. And I took a snippet out of scripture explaining this situation, this brilliant situation. So next slide. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Did we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." I want you to, as much as you can, imagine yourself in that situation. You're standing in front of a sea. You've got people moaning at you. Then you hear this from the Lord. What do you do? The amount of faith that I think that it took Moses to have in that moment is just, I find, for me personally, crazy and inspiring. As I was doing the research or planning for the talk today, I was trying to look for a cheat code. How do you get faith like this? And sadly, there isn't. There isn't a cheat code for that. I can't tell you. I don't have one. The one thing that all the people on that list, they have, is they were close to God, in conversation, and in his presence. You know your journey with God. You know how much you have control versus faith in your life. You know your heart. You know your mind. You know what choices you make on a daily basis. I don't know if we're going to have a worship at the end, but if we do, then I want you to be real with God about your life, the choices that you make, and the kind of faith that you practice. If we don't have a worship song, even if we do, take some time alone in your prayer time at home. Or next time you're alone, just be honest with the Lord and say, "Jesus, what areas in my life am I holding too much and I need to give to you?" And when you do that, act on it. Live it out. In James it says, faith without works is dead. Going back to the start of my preach, when I faced with the worries about what's going to happen with the youth group, I remembered, what am I putting my faith in and who am I putting my faith in? And that is God. That he will look after the group, that there is actually a strong youth team already, and that me leaving would allow someone else from the church to come and step in and bring something new to the group. And those group of people are capable of doing something amazing. And lastly, I put my faith in what I heard from the Lord about it. That me stepping down will create space for the Holy Spirit to do something new in the group. We need to trust someone with our lives. It could be one of those people on those pieces of paper. It could be anyone. But I believe that it can only be Jesus Christ. Let me pray to finish. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, that in the midst of every situation in our lives, you can do miracles the same like in the Moses story. And I really pray that everyone here will be honest with you, that the choices that they make and the choices that they haven't made, they'll bring that forward to you. And I really pray that you would, in a supernatural way, bring something amazing in everyone's lives. We thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.
Let your living word abide in me so richly as I abide in you. Let your living